I'm going to turn to a couple of passages in Scripture for our Scripture reading for today. And just if you're a guest here this morning, or maybe you've been away, I've been doing a series of messages. We're calling this Growing a Healthy Church. And we're focusing on what we call the core values of this church. And there are eight of those, and we're making our way through that. And this morning, the core value is called holistic small groups, how we want to have small groups within in this church and how we see that as God's way of working through those groups as we work in each other's lives, encourage each other as part of the body of Christ. So what I'd like you to do is read that with me so that you have a sense of what that core value is. So join me in saying, we will be a church of small groups.
Discipling people happens best in small groups, which incorporate the dimensions of learning from God's Word, sharing openly our hearts with one another, and serving as Christ serves.
So that's the core value, and in light of that, we want to read a passage from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, and also a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10. So hear then the Word of God. And Acts 2 is just when the early church started, so that's the context of that. So they, that is the early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then also a few verses from Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so far then, the reading of God's Word. Your people of God. If someone were to ask you to describe an ideal church, what would that look like? Now, other than having a super talented pastor and youth director, what would you include in that description of an ideal church? Now, some of you would probably describe a church with dynamic worship services, with the kind of music and preaching that sets your heart on fire for God. Others might stress the need for dynamic programs providing spiritual growth for young and old. Or maybe a church where people support and care for each other in visible ways. Or a church with intentional outreach ministries that regularly bring in people from the community. A church with a vital prayer ministry. A church with visionary leadership. A church with beautiful new facilities. A church with everyone being trained to use their gifts in some sort of ministry. A church where people speak openly about their love and commitment for Jesus. A church where we regularly make new and meaningful relationships. A church without any concern about meeting its budget. And no doubt you could add to that list as to what an ideal, healthy church would look like. Now, of course, there's no such thing as a perfect church on this side of heaven. And sometimes we're tempted to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence when it comes to other churches. I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, maybe we should shut this church down for a month or so and just ask everyone to visit a whole bunch of other churches and then come back with their responses. You know, every time I need to preach in another church, I come back saying, you know what? I'm thankful for what we have in this church. And my guess is if we were going to do that for a month too, I think, sure, we'd see some good things in other churches, but I think we would also have maybe even a greater appreciation for what we have in this church. Now, every church, including this church, has imperfect leaders, members who are selfish and uncaring, and programs that are lacking. And still, in that light, there's nothing wrong with wanting to enhance the effectiveness of one's church. But the question is, how do we do that? What model do we look for as we try to improve the church? Now, when people often think or talk about an ideal church, people often turn to the Bible and they focus on the early church, especially the passage we just read a few moments ago from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And there we see a church that's spiritually alive. There we see a church where people come together daily for worship. And a people that just support themselves in every way. We see a church that enjoyed the favor of all the people in the community. A church where God was adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. I mean, imagine that. A church that's growing in number every day. Today, churches feel good if they can experience the growth of a few members in it on a yearly basis. But that early church, they were experiencing growth each and every day. And that church in Acts 2, they saw visible signs of growth in every way on a daily basis. Think about it. How is that possible? Why does God not bless us with that kind of growth in our churches today? Now, when we look closely at this, at the early church in Acts 2, verse 42, we see these early Christians devoting themselves to four things. To the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that gets fleshed out in the verses that follow that. But in all those verses, two things are very clearly evident. The desire for these early Christians to grow in their love and commitment for Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. And secondly, their commitment and love for each other as the family of God. And we see that as they meet together on a daily basis. I mean, imagine, some of us have a hard time coming to church on a weekly basis, but they were getting together every day for worship. Every day was like Sunday for them. And verse 46 describes them meeting together in the temple courts for corporate worship and teaching time. And they did that every day, but guess what else they did every day? As if they didn't have enough of each other yet. Then they would get together in their homes and they would eat and fellowship together. They did that every day too. Some of our small groups, we have a hard time getting together every other week. And they would do it every day. They just couldn't get enough of each other as these people in that early church. Acts 2 verse 42, verse 44 and 45 says, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So when's the last time you sold some property to help some people in need? Probably none of us, right? And that's what they did in the early church. And so, and you think to yourself, so it wasn't any wonder why this early church experienced such dynamic and amazing growth on a daily basis. These early Christians, they were clearly on fire for Jesus, and they showed it in every way possible. Their love for Jesus, their concern for each other, it was just simply contagious. People were hungry to experience that same spiritual passion and that rich sense of community as was witnessed in these clearly devoted followers of Jesus. Everybody wanted to be in on the action of the early church. And this passage stresses that while the Christian faith is definitely meant to be something that's very personal for each one of us, it also stresses that it was never intended by God to be an individualistic kind of thing. God doesn't want us as Christians to live in isolation from each other. We are all members of the body of Christ who need to support each other and to encourage each other in our daily walk with Jesus. Now, my guess is that, you know, summer's pretty well over, but I'm sure a number of you probably went camping this summer, right? And one of the joys of camping is having a campfire, right? And I love having a campfire here in Ontario because by the time you want to have a campfire, it's dark. Now, we just take that for granted here in Ontario. When we lived in Alberta, it didn't get dark until 11 o'clock. So having to have a campfire wasn't even dark. But you know, when you have a campfire, to have a good campfire, what do you need to do? You need to keep adding more wood, right? And usually there's one person who keeps adding a few more logs. And if a single log kind of falls out of the fire or away from the other log, you know what happens, right? That log will soon go out. The logs, they need each other to keep burning. And in that same way, the fire of God's Spirit burns hotter and brighter when the flame of each member joins in with the flames of all the other believers. The church wasn't designed for isolated individuals who show up in church on a Sunday morning and then go their merry old way after the service. God wants us to regularly rub shoulders with each other so that we can mutually encourage each other in our love and service and witness for Jesus in this community. Because we will never be fully mature Christians when we try to do it on our own. We need each other as the body of Christ. And that's why we gather for corporate worship like this. And like the early Christians in Acts 2 who met together in the temple courts to hear the apostles instruct them in the basics of Christianity, we gather together like this on Sunday morning to hear God's word explained to us on a weekly basis. We need that regular spiritual food from God's word to keep the spiritual fires burning in our lives. But you know, if the Sunday sermon is the only spiritual food that we digest once a week, you know what? That's not going to make us into healthy, mature kinds of Christians that God wants us to be. It would be like eating only one meal a week. That's not a prescription for good health, is it? And besides, no preacher, no matter how good a preacher might be, can address every single person's spiritual needs in every single message. Some Sundays we're going to get fed a little bit more than others. And like with our daily eating habits, God wants us to feed from the spiritual food on His from His Word, not just on Sunday mornings, but God wants us to feed from His Word on a daily basis. And we can do that as individuals. And hopefully we do that as families. But God also wants us to study His Word together and grow in the truths of Scripture by doing that together in small groups within the church. As we study God's Word together, we enrich each other's lives through the leading of God's Spirit. And that's what we see happening in the early church with the early Christians in Acts 2. They came together for corporate worship and teaching sessions led by the apostles on a daily basis. And then they went off to their homes. They gathered in small groups within their homes to encourage each other to live out those spiritual truths. And that time that they spent together in their homes as small groups, guess what? That was ism. Important to their spiritual growth as the time that was spent in the daily teaching sessions with the apostles. And when we keep reading in the book of Acts and some of the New Testament books, We can read about churches coming together in what they called house churches. And the Christians outside of Jerusalem, they didn't have regular access to the teachings of the apostles. And so what they would do is they would meet together in their homes. And they did that on a daily basis. And they would do that to encourage each other in their faith and their assurance of salvation in Jesus. And guess what? The homes in the days of the Bible, they weren't the big kind of homes that we have and that we enjoy today. Even the person in this room who has the smallest home, whatever size that might be, that would still be a giant house in the days of the Bible. I remember going to Israel a number of years ago, and they had an example of a typical house in the days of the Bible. It would have been comfortably crowded with a small group of 8 to 12 people in a meeting. It would have taken up the whole house. And as you can imagine, that allowed for a rich sense of community in these small house churches. I mean, it was nice for them to gather for worship as a congregation like we do on a Sunday morning. But it was impossible. It's impossible for us to, you know, we all get together, and even though there might only be 100 of us here, we can't all connect with each other in a really rich way after the service. It's impossible to get to know each other and to encourage each other like they did in those house churches of the New Testament times. And you know, that's exactly why we as a church encourage you to be part of a small group within this church. That's why we have this core value. That spiritual growth, it happens best in small group settings. Because it's our way of putting into practice what we read in the Bible in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, where it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Now that Hebrews 10 passage, typically we interpret that to stress the importance of attending Sunday services. And you know, that's a legitimate use of the text. But notice when we look at, maybe we can shove that verse back up on the screen again here.
Mm-hmm.
Notice when you look at those words, it doesn't say that we get together so that the pastor can spur us on toward love and good deeds. It doesn't say that. It says that we do that in a corporate way. Sure, it's important to have the Sunday sermon. But Hebrews 10 assumes that these regular meetings that people are encouraged to come together for are small enough for people to encourage each other in their love and their service for Jesus. These meetings that they came together for, they weren't big meetings like this. They were house churches. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we hope and pray happens in each of the small groups within our church. Because our small groups, they aren't intended just to be a coffee social or even to just be a Bible study. Sure, we want that. But we encourage these small groups of 6 to 10 people to pledge a confidentiality with each other as they encourage each other, as we learn from each other, as we pray together for each other, and sometimes even to speak words of correction with each other. We're encouraged to speak openly about whatever needs or struggles we experience in our lives, and then we encourage prayer and support for each other in these times of need. And you know, I am extremely grateful to know that a lot of that is happening in our small group ministry within the church. I've seen people encourage each other and support each other in wonderful ways. Sometimes even with people that you previously had little contact with. I've seen how an effective small group can minister to each other in ways that are far more effective than anything I as a pastor or anything that we as the elders could try to do within the church. And as we reach out to support each other like this, it nurtures the kind of openness and trust that's necessary to support each other in our faith. Service for Jesus. Maybe some of you think, well, is it necessary to have small groups for that to happen within the church? Maybe not. In the early church, they didn't have officially set up small groups like we try to do in our church today. That's true. And in the early church, when there was a need, as we can read in Acts 2, people just spontaneously looked after each other. And that resulted in an amazing sense of community within the church, the early church. But we need to remember, those groups, they started off as small groups. Kind of like this church did 10 years ago. And you know, when the group within the church is small, it's a lot easier to have a strong sense of community, where we just love spending time together and doing things together. But over time, as a church grows, that happens in every church, then we gradually lose some of that closeness. And not only that, as Christians, we also tend to buy into the individualistic mentality of our world around us. You know how that goes. You know, you do your thing, and I'll do my thing, and as long as we kind of stay out of each other's hair, well, you know, well, then we'll all be fine, right? We all hear that. But you know, that kind of mentality, it's a lie. We live in a society that's starving for a true sense of community. Even in a small town like this, there are people with all kinds of hurts and feelings of betrayal, people who are hungry to experience a true sense of community that only the Church of Jesus can really offer. And guess what? People who are looking for that kind of true community, they'll try to find it somewhere else if the church doesn't. And they won't experience that kind of community in a worship setting like this. Yeah, hopefully someone. But true community only happens in a small group setting where people feel safe enough to get to know each other in a more personal way. And let's not think that only people outside the church are searching for a true sense of community. There are lonely, dissatisfied, and spiritually stunted Christians within every church. And why is that? Because people come to church hoping to experience some sense of community, yet all too often go home disappointed because it's hard to nurture that kind of fellowship before and after worship service. And that's where we as a church believe that small groups play an important role in that. Our small groups provide a safe setting for a small group of people to support and encourage each other in their faith, service, and witness for Jesus. And as we see time after time, our small groups also serve as a wonderful and effective tool to draw new people into the church. I've said it many times, if we can hook them into a small group, we've got them hooked. And it's amazing how people are willing to explore their commitment to Jesus within a small group setting, in a setting where people feel loved, accepted, and prayed for. See, there's no such thing as a lone ranger kind of Christianity. God places us within the body of his church so that we can nurture each other in our love and commitment for Jesus. As an author named Paul Tournier has said, there are two things we can't do alone. One is we can't be married on our own. And he says the other is we can't truly be Christians on our own. God has created us to live in community. Now, I began this message asking how we would describe an ideal church. Now, to me, an ideal church is a growing church. Not just in numbers, yes, we hope that happens, but a church that grows spiritually and grows numerically. Because churches that grow in spiritually and churches that grow in number do so because there's a strong sense of community in the first place. A community where small groups of people care for each other with the kind of sacrificial love that Jesus has modeled for us, through, not only through his life, but especially through his death on the cross for our sin. Churches grow when people are excited about putting their faith into practice with the support and the encouragement of their fellow believers. And my hope and my prayer is for us as a church to grow into that kind of church. And guess what? Then this church will also enjoy the favor of the people of this community. And then I believe that God will increase the number of those who are being saved through the work of this church. And all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of your church. And that you give us the assurance of your amazing gift of forgiveness and salvation in your Son, Jesus. We thank you for placing us within this body of believers to enable us to experience the kind of rich sense of community that you want for us. We know, Lord God, that you don't want us to be lone ranger Christians, that you want us to support each other in our mutual joys and concerns, and that you want us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and that you want us to do that in response to what Jesus has done for us through his sacrificial gift of love and grace for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will work through us to reach out to the people of this community with the good news of your salvation in Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that through this church, that we will also see people who will be saved, people who will come to know Jesus through us reaching out to the people of this church or this community, and through us modeling what kind of church that you want us to be. Empower us, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit to be the kind of church that you have designed for us. So we pray that in the name of Jesus, our Savior.